Of the book of Joshua.
Another big meal. So satisfied. But once again, after a big meal, to stay awake is very difficult. But hopefully, we have the strength to carry on.
In the book of Joshua, there was a few very important stories. We mentioned about the preparation to conquer the land, to mobilize the people. But in order to mobilize the people, you have to mobilize the leaders. So in chapter 1, actually, what's very important, talks about the quality of spiritual leadership.
The quality of some very important spiritual leadership. This can be your reference. If in the future, that you really want to work for God, these are the quality that God is looking for, our future leaders. Once again, we are not true leaders. We are only following Jesus' leadership. But people look at you, look for direction. If you are the spiritual leaders, maybe you are youth group leaders, you are RE teachers, you are even a husband in the house, or you are leading the church, guiding the church. So, this is the few very important guidance for leadership. First, it mentioned here that have to be faithful. God told Joshua, you have to be a faithful worker. No matter where you go, you have to do the job faithfully. And actually, it proved that Joshua, he himself, is a very faithful worker. Let's turn to the book of Joshua. Chapter 24. Verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 15. Yes, start again from Ricky, please. Joshua
24:15. 24:15. Verse 15. Have it seemed evil to you to serve the Lord? Choose for yourself this day, from yourself, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell, and for me and my house we will serve the Lord.
Faithfulness is what God is looking for. God doesn't always look for a smart person, very clever person. God doesn't necessarily look for someone who graduated from Oxford, Cambridge, who can do the work. But God is always looking for someone who is faithful. Like your parents or grandparents, they are not even educated, but God used them to establish the churches in UK. So what does it mean, faithfulness? Faithfulness, if you look at Joshua, he completed his task. He completed his duty. The duty given to him is not even light. It's very heavy duty. But he didn't go away, he didn't escape, and he didn't treat it lightly. He completed his task and completed it well. He gave 100% when he served God. Some people, they do it well, in front of people, they'll do a good job. But at the back, if nobody is watching, they just do it lousily. This is not a faithful worker. So Joshua, God demand him, you have to be a faithful worker. And diligent is very important. Diligent, this means very hardworking. We may not be smart, but if we are hardworking enough, God will always help us to do the job all right. So hardworking. For example, if you want to know the Bible well, if you want to preach in the future, if you want to give sermon, you have to be hardworking, reading the Bible every day. You cannot say, oh, the church, I want to be an RE teacher. I want to teach the sermon. I want to lead the young children. But you don't read the Bible. You don't spend time. You don't spend the effort. You cannot do it. And number three, point three is, you have to put a star here, is the key point to become a spiritual worker and leader. So the one verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. Next. Yes. Chapter 1, verse 8, Joshua.
Chapter 1,
chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
Underline this verse, very important. This is the key to your success in the future. Not only to do God's work in the church, but your personal career, your family, your everything. If you want to succeed in anything that you do, the key point is to receive God's blessing. It's not by your own. You can be very diligent, but if God did not bless you, you will not succeed. But how can God bless you? Here tell us. First, you must meditate. You must always think about God's word. You should find out, not only reading it, you should think about it. And then think about when you conduct yourself in this world, whether it's outside church or inside church, you really conduct yourself according to the manner, the principle, and the truth. You think about, okay, how should I react now? What should I choose? What should I do? Or what should I not do? This kind of concept shall come from meditation of the word. If you always think about God's word, God will guide you to make the right decision. Life is made of making of decision. For example, in your future now, there are a few decisions that you have to make, right? What's your major? Which school you go? And then afterward, before you graduate, what kind of job should you take? And then the next question is, whom should you be in a relationship to find a family? After you have married, found a family, where should you be living? What kind of job will you be doing? So life is about decision. Can you imagine if you make continuously, you make wrong decision? For example, let's see, the next 5 decisions you make in your life is all wrong. Then where will you be ending up? Ending up like very pathetic, useless. But if the next 5 decisions you make is the right one, then of course you'll be blessed automatically. You will not even worry whether your life will bless or not. But why you make right decision? Because you meditate the word of God. The word of God will give you guidance in making decisions. You don't even have to ask, oh, preacher, what should I do? Of course, if you call preacher, they'll try to talk to you, right? But preacher is not always at hand, and preacher may not understand you fully. But if you always read God's word, you always know what is the right thing. You don't even have to ask. After you meditate, here tell us, you should practice. Underline the words, practice. You should put into practice. It doesn't matter you score 100% in my test, I don't even care. Right? But of course, it doesn't mean that you can fail. But if you score 100% in my test, but when you go home, you don't even put the teaching into practice, then you earn nothing. You're just wasting your own time and my time too. Right? Here is not like a school where you try to outperform others, you get 100%, you're superior. It really matter is after you go home, after you learn all this, whether you're willing to try it out. You put it into practice. After you put it into practice, and then here verse 8 tells us, then God will make your path straight, and whatever you do will be prosperous. You don't even have to ask God, please make my way prosperous. You don't have to ask God to guide your way, open a way for you. You just think God's word, make decision according to God's word, practice God's word, your life, God will take care for you. You don't even have to pray to God, oh God, please do this for me, prepare this for me. You don't even have to ask. God will prepare. So this is about relationship with God. Verse 9, please. Next.
Verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Okay, so key verse, number, chapter 1, verse 9, really talks about personal relationship with God. If you have good personal relationship with God, you don't have to worry. A good spiritual leader always have good personal relationship with God. If you have good relationship with God, you have courage. You don't even afraid. What are you going to do? God is with you all the time. So in the future, you will all be leaders. Every one of you. Well, it doesn't mean you have to be deacons or preachers, right? But at least you'll be leader of your family. You'll be parents. You'll be getting married in 10 years' time. Or 15, 13. It doesn't really matter. In the future, you'll all be leading someone. Someone will be looking up for you, asking for you. Or if you're teaching children. So, you are a spiritual leader. You have to build up your relationship with God. So, in the book of Joshua, also talking about crossing the River Jordan. Another preparation, after you mobilize the leaders, you have to cross the River Jordan. Let's turn to chapter 3.
Chapter 3, verse 14.
Yes.
So it was when the people set out from the camp to cross over the Jordan, that the priests carrying the ark of the covenant for the people.
Remember the map I show you. In order to enter the land of Canaan, you have to overcome a natural obstacle, the barrier. And that barrier is the Jordan River. Jordan River is a very huge river, could have even 100 feet across the other side, especially during the time when they are crossing it, is when they were flooding. It's the season of the river flooding. So can you imagine, now we have at least 2 million people, including youngster, babies, old person, and they are to cross the river during the flooding season. This poses an immense challenge of faith. So now we have a challenge of faith. If you want to receive God's blessing, even though God has already promised, yes, the blessing is there, you just go there and claim it. It doesn't mean you can sit at home and do nothing and God will email it to you and you open the attachment, or you got it, right? It's not as easy as you can think. God promised you something, but you always have to overcome the challenge before you can claim it. How can you overcome the challenge? You need to bring out your faith to God. Now, this challenge of faith is different than 40 years ago, the challenge of crossing the Red Sea. When they crossed the Red Sea, what happened? Moses raised up the staff, the sea were divided, and then they walked through. So 40 years ago, is the sea separate first? Sea divided first, and then they walk. Because at that time they favor a little baby, they cannot walk by faith. They must see the land dry before they make the first step, otherwise they'll never move on. But now 40 years later, what is the challenge? God wants to tell them, you, the priest, bring the ark, leading the people, step on the river. When you step on the river will separate. Now, this is an immense challenge of faith. They may ask, wow, I'm not able to swim. You know, who cannot swim here? Who will never know how to swim? Okay. A few months ago, I was in Toronto. I was baptizing a truth seeker lady. She never know how to swim. She never told me. She should have told me. But she never told me, so I bring her to the lake of Ontario. It's not even an ocean, it's a lake. She's so scared, her body is so stiff. She couldn't even knee down. We spent 15-20 minutes in icy water, just struggling with her. Only by God's grace, that barely we make it by God's grace. It's just like a struggle. I know if you do not know how to swim, you walk in a river, you get scared. It's no joke. If you know how to swim, you don't have this fear. But if you don't know, if you know how to swim, no problem. But you don't never know how to swim, walk into the beach, will get scary. Walk on the water. Now this priest or the whole generation, they were born in Egypt. Even when they were in Egypt, they have no time to go to Red Sea resort and swimming. They were slaves. They were born in the wilderness and they never seen an ocean. They never see a big lake. And all these priests, they don't know how to swim, for sure. I can assure you that. But God tells them, you step into the water first,
and then I'll open it for you. God did not say, I'll open it for you so that you'll go through. Now, this is called a challenge of faith. God doesn't always let you to become a baby. Fix everything for you first before he opens a way for you. God wants you to bring out the faith first, and then he'll open a way for you. So this time, if you read verse 14, underline this. Those priests who was holding the ark, they were in front of the people. Verse 14. You see, leaders always have to be in the front. You cannot say, yeah, I want to be a leader. What is a leader? Okay, you do this. Okay, you do that. Okay, you fix that. You do that. And I'll sit in the office, enjoying my cup of tea, and report to me what you have done. Sorry, if you do it, if your character is like this, you'll never be a good leader. A leader is always in the front. If you want to tell people to do things, you set an example. You walk in the front and tell people, okay, this is how you do this. Follow me. So the priests walk in the front, carrying the ark, maybe two of them or four of them. And verse 15, underline this. When their feet stepped in Jordan River. At that time, the river were well flooded. Verse 16, the water stopped from very far. So what does it tell us? Now, you walk by faith, not by sight. You have to bring out your faith, bring your action of trust first, before you see a way. You have to wait and walk and trust. You're going to tell God, oh God, no, I have no job now, so any job requires me to work on Saturday, I'll take it because I must survive. After I can handle myself, I'll keep Sabbath. If you think like this, you'll never get a job that you can keep Sabbath. You have to hold on to your position. God, no matter what happened, I'm not working on Sabbath. Right. Even I want a good job, but if this job wants me to work on Sabbath, I'll not take it. I'll put you first. And then you see God's guidance and opening. For marriage, you cannot say, no, God, there's no brother in church anymore. All the good brothers are gone. Right? You know, outside, so many people chasing me, then I should give it a try because there's no one in the church. Well, if you say this, if you think like this, okay, for you, this, you'll never see God's blessing. If you insist, no matter what happened, I would not marry an outsider. Even I would not marry, even I'm single all my life, I'm not marrying an outsider. If you have this kind of faith, God will open for you. Right. God's word is you can trust, but you have to make the first step out of it yet. So this is very important. And it mentioned when they first make up the step, what happened? That with the water stopped at where? City of? Which city? Adam. Where did the water stop? In verse 14. Which city did it stop?
Huh? Verse 16.
Which city did it stop? The water. Can you read verse 16, Adam?
That the waters which came down from upstream still stood, and it rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Noah.
So the water stopped at your city, huh? Yeah, the water stopped at your city. So that's why I tell you to read it. Very far away. The water did not stop just right in front. Very far away stopped it. Adam was the first human being. So this is also a prefiguration too. Adam was the first human being, but also he's the first one to fail. He commits sin against God, but God can undo, and God can fix the problem. God can always undo the sin and fix the sin. God can always undo the trouble that Adam made by sinning against God. So this really prefigures salvation too. The river stopped at the city of Adam, very far away. By faith in Jesus Christ, the sin in Adam can be done, can be dealt with. This is really amazing. That the water, why the water did not stop somewhere else? Why did the water stop at where? The city of where? Which city? Adam? Your city. This carries a very
special meaning. And another preparation of before they entering the land of Canaan is circumcision. Chapter 5, verse 9. Next. Chapter 5, verse 9. Another preparation before you can enter the land of Canaan is circumcision. And we know circumcision is the sign of Abrahamic covenant with God. How did Abraham and his children prove that we have a covenant with God? It's through circumcision. Circumcision is to remove the foreskin of a male reproductive organ. It's to remove the, hygienically speaking, is to remove the dirty part. But ceremonially speaking, it is a covenant. So all the boys, all the male at that time, they were born in the wilderness. Only two of them were circumcised. Who are they? Only two men at the time were circumcised. Who are they? The other, they are not circumcised. Who are circumcised? Samuel. Joshua and Caleb. Yeah. All the others are dead now. They were born the new generation. So they are not clean. They have not confirmed the covenant with God. So, before they enter the land of Canaan, before they fight a war, they have to confirm the covenant by receiving circumcision. And also to remove their dirtiness, their filth. Verse 9 tells us they named the place. Verse 9 again, please read again, verse 9. So, God rolled away. Gilgal means roll away, right? Gilgal means what? Roll away from Egypt? Roll away, right? Rolled away. Gilgal, that place is named Gilgal because it is the place that they receive circumcision and they roll away their shame. Rolled away. Roll away sin and shame. Gilgal. Is it spelled like this? Gilgal in English? Gilgal?
G-I-G-A-L, right?
G-I-L.
Gilgal. Means roll away. All this place, the name may be appear in your test, huh?
Especially this place will be in your test. This is so important.
Where do they receive circumcision? What does it mean? Any serious spiritual significance? That is a very important part in the Old Testament. If they don't confirm this covenant before they enter, God will not be with them. They will not even win the battle.
So they have to reconfirm the covenant by following
the condition of the covenant and roll away. If they do this, God will roll, if they roll away the dirtiness, God will roll away the shame from Egypt. And Egypt represents what? Sinful world. So the whole thing, crossing the River of Jordan, of course, you can say related to saved by faith, right? Now, but this one, crossing river, we can talk about, maybe talk about saved by faith, saved by grace. But crossing of the river, I mean, sorry, the circumcision in Gilgal can mean what? In the Old Testament, circumcision always referred to New Testament baptism. Baptism also is a sign of the covenant by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. And also in water baptism, we roll away our sin. God cancel it, roll it away. So this is another spiritual significance of preparation of crossing the river.
crossing the River Jordan and receiving circumcision. Any questions so far? Understand? Following okay? Am I too fast or going too deep? Ming Ming. Okay, ma. If it's too fast, let me know. So, afterwards, mention about the first battle. I think the story I don't have to repeat. They won the first battle, but they failed the first one, the second one, because of the sin of Achan. But they learned the lesson, and then they win conquering and winning all the battles. Why they win all the battles? There's one key verse. Chapter 10, verse 42. Chapter 10, verse 42. They won the battle. Why? Underline this. Because the Lord fought for them. They won it, not because they are smart, not because they have better weapon, not because they outnumber people, but because the Lord fought the battle for them. It's not only they fought the battle, but God fought the battle. So in your life, it's the same. If you want success, if you want what you do, get blessed by God, you overcome challenges, you need God on your side. You need God on your side. You need totally trusting in God and total obedience, total faithful, total diligent. So God fought the battle for you, there's no problem. So this is about how Joshua, he is not the commander, he knows that God is the commander. And lastly, he have to divide the land, chapter 13. Chapter 12, we talk about dividing the land. If you look at this map, all the color disappear. This is a very old projector. All the color. You don't see any color here, right? Do you? It's supposed to have green, yellow, red. Maybe this one is too old. Anyway, this is how the distribution of the 12 tribes. Always remember, Judah kind of in the south. Simeon is within Judah. You also remember on the east of Jordan, there's 2.5 tribes. The east of Jordan, this is Jordan River, connecting the two water sources, Sea of Galilee and Dead Sea on the south. So there are 2.5 tribes living the east. Majority of the tribes are in the west. So this is the distribution. Of course, this will not be the test. You don't have to memorize. This is not the main point, right? There's only one tribe that did not receive any land. Which tribe is missing? Levi. Why? They don't have any land. Chapter 13, verse 33. 13, verse 33. Yes. It is not Levites doesn't have any inheritance, but actually it is Levi who has more inheritance than everybody, because Levi's inheritance is not in this land, it's not in this world. Levi's inheritance is serving God and eternal blessing. So you can say Levi doesn't have any, but more accurately you can say what? Levi has more than everyone else. So I really hope that some of the brothers among you here in the future, if God has moved your heart, if God has given you the gift, if you have heard God's calling, some of you should step out and become full-time minister to work for God. I remember when I was your age, I went to NYTS in US. My heart was really stirred up after watching all those African videos. See our churches in Africa. They really have strong faith. In my heart, I was stirred up. Wow, if one day I can work for God. So nice. Every day I just read Bible and pray, and I get paid. Of course, I have to preach too, right?
Of course, not because of the money. Actually, to be honest, the money I earned to become a minister, compared to what I was before I was in accountancy, I work in oil and gas company. What I can earn in the society are way much more than I can earn as a minister. What we earn in a minister is called living allowance, just enough to get by. It's not for luxurious life and anything. But look at my life. I don't lack anything. I have a computer, right? Even though it's very old. This one is very old computer, like five, 6 years old computer. Yeah, but I bought it very cheap online through somebody is still working. $180. You won't believe how cheap I pay for this computer. Only about £100 my computer. But I have a computer. Yeah. My cell phone is small screen, but it's working. Yeah, so I have a house to live. So everything I need, God provided. Of course, cannot compare to those who open a shop or become a businessman. But I lack nothing. But I know in heaven, my house is bigger than yours. Unless in the future you also work for full time, right? So, of course, Levi doesn't have anything on earth, but he has better inheritance. Of course, if you want to marry a future preacher, the sisters, you can also share the same blessing. You cannot be a full time minister, but you can marry one. Yeah, and also you can receive full blessing from God if God has chosen you. So, Levi, his inheritance is for God. So this is pretty much about the book of Joshua. And you can jump to verse 18. Okay, jump to verse chapter 17. Huh? Chapter 17, verse 12. Next. And it happened when the children of Israel grew strong that they put the Canaanites to cross the river, but did not utterly drive them out. If you read chapter 15, 16, 17,
there's one phrase keep repeating is the tribe they did not drive out the enemies.
Why they didn't drive out? There are two reasons. First is because they couldn't. They are too strong. They tried it once and they give up. They have an excuse saying that it's too difficult. We couldn't do it. The second reason is they don't want to do it. Because they find out that we can ask them to do labor job for us instead of driving them out. So it's quite a good deal. They stay and we have free labor. We subdue them. They work for us free. So at the beginning they couldn't do it because they didn't try hard enough. But afterwards, they didn't even want to try. Now, this posed the threat of the Israelites. Because in the future, all these tribes will come back to disturb Israel. Write down, very important. This is the hidden downfall of the people of Israel. All this tribe will come back for them. All this enemy in the future will come back for them and disturb them. And they will intermarry with them. And they will entice them to worship idols. And then later they will even subdue Israelites. So what does it tell us? It's a good spiritual teaching. This Canaanite represents sin. Sin. Or the lust. They are sinful in nature. Canaanites are very sinful. You know why God warned the people of Israelites kill all the Canaanites or drive them all out? Because God wants to judge them. Canaanites are very wicked in their moral value. First, they sacrifice children. They kill children, burn children to offer to the idols. Secondly, they have homosexuality. They also have heterosexuality, very immoral. So, because of these two reasons, God wants to cast them all out or kill them all so that people Israelites won't be affected. But the fact that people Israelites do not want to kick them out, and these people come back to them later.
influence them later. So this Canaanite represents sin. Today, if you don't deal with your sin in your life, this sin will come back to haunt you.
Write this down, very important.
If you don't want to deal with them today, if you don't subdue them, kick them away, they will come back for you. For example, if you're addicted to internet, pornography, if you don't deal with it, in the future, they will come back for you. You don't have good relationship with God, your mind will be twisted. People use pornography, they see too much pornography, their mindset are all twisted. They cannot even look at the opposite sex directly, normally. They become a freak, right? Become weird. Yeah, sister know it. Sometimes, wow, that guy is so weird. The way he look at me is so weird. Why? Because that guy has seen too much pornography. It's true, sister know it. Sister very sensitive. Sister know who is a good guy, who is a bad guy. Am I right, sister? It's a feeling, right? Somebody look at you normally and somebody look at you, really, you know it. Yeah. So that's why if you don't deal with your sin, sin will hunt back to you. Right? Sister, the same thing, right? If you have too much jealousy, too much gossip, too much bitterness in your heart, if you don't kick them away by the power of Jesus, they will come back for you. They will change your personality. Your heart full of bitterness, even your face will show. Sometimes you look at the mirror, wow, why my face look like a bitter melon? If your face look like a banana, it's okay, right? Happy, yeah? But if the face look like a bitter melon, why? You can even smile because your heart, too much trouble, too much bitterness, jealousy. So if you don't kick away the sin come back to you. So you have to be very careful. And then, chapter 18-19 talks about the land distribution, and then pretty much it is about and the conclusion of the book almost is on chapter 21 verse 43. 43 to 45, next.
So how can he instead of husband to give in love their before but in payment to give you the lambs and you don't know? And you hand out into moving to me about here in Jordan before another. And can I even find the leader of the family in the column? Are you even finding the governors? How can you even do it? As funny, that for him to find from Ivan to the waters to hear the whole to eat and to finish the others to come.
Here tell us, God, whatever God has promised, God had done his part. Whatever he promised Abraham, promised the people of Israel, God had given them, God had given them peace, God had blessed them, not even one word falling on the ground. But at the same time, you have to ask, has the people of Israel done their part? Not quite. So, the next book you can see that the people in the time of Judges, they failed the covenant. God has done their covenant. God has done his part in the covenant. But people of Israel has failed God. So, next session we'll talk about the book of Judges. Any questions so far? If no, we take a break. Science.